Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa, is in the studio as well as in the screening room. We have producer extraordinaire, who really came through today. You know, he flexed and popped a little collar. He's like, you know, J-Mac, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, the real J-Mac, ladies and gentlemen, often imitated, never duplicated. And we are ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. I did have to go home and get a little recovery last night. Yeah, because they just crossed the line. And you know, it's one of those things that I look at this stuff, the gross underbelly of our society every day. And I just hit a breaking point yesterday. It struck me in a very significant way as to what we are actually dealing with at this juncture. Nevertheless, as I ended the program yesterday, I will reiterate that as we walk through the scriptures today, because it is, I know I can speak for myself, if it were not for the counsel of the Lord's word and the comfort of his spirit, I do not know how I would navigate what we're facing currently. And I'm just being, you know, completely candid with you in that. What I am talking to you about and encouraging you with the scripture, I am applying it to myself. I am encouraging my own family with the same things. In our local church, we discuss the same things because this is still the time and context with all of the insanity, with the overt corruption, and frankly, having an individual and an administration that has operated as enemies of our republic. And then by the individual, I'm talking about Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden. He has conducted himself as an enemy of our republic. The evidence has been available for quite some time, and it's slowly been validated and confirmed in various places. You don't have, ladies and gentlemen, a man and whose relatives set up a string of shell companies and corporations so that they can have money passing through the corporation to try to make it more difficult to trace the origins of the money that just so happened to coincide with, at that point, this individual's attaining to the highest elective office in his 50-year, near 50-year history as a public official. And you have to twist and turn and defy all basic logical norms in order to believe some of the stuff that they're telling you to believe. And then to have confirmation, evidential confirmation repeatedly, including at the exact same time, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but at the exact same time, you're telling the American public, oh, things are not as bad as they're saying at the border. Oh, and we're reducing illegal border entries at the southern border, and we're securing the border. While at the exact same time, you spend the last year secretly flying illegal aliens from all over the world in violation of our federal law into our country expressly so as to have it transpire without increasing the number of illegal border entries. That's just sinister. That's just sinister. Putting that aside, at this moment, many of you, if not most of you, are transitioning from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. I want to encourage you to do so with intentionality, understanding the primacy that God places on family, and remembering and reminding ourselves that what happens in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. Even tonight when you had the State of the Union address, and I'm going to get to that, but I'll just say it now, what I'm going to say later, and reiterate and expound upon. I am not interested in watching a man who is an enemy of our republic detail for us his view in the State of our Union. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. I'll take a hard pass on that. I'm sickened by these people. And it's not just him individually, but the entire apparatus, the enablers, the American Pravda that gives cover to this foolishness. I'm just sick of it. To the Word of God we go. 1 Peter chapter 5, and this is vitally, vitally important. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 1 through 9. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I want to remind you that this epistle was written in the early part of the 60s AD by the Apostle Peter, and it's expressly promulgated and distributed to the church in the first century to encourage the body of Christ that is facing ascendant persecution, to encourage the body of Christ to remain faithful to the Lord, but not only to remain faithful personally, but continue to advance God's objective and agenda. All right? I know people are saying, I was hoping Abe will watch it and give us the details. I know I normally do, but I'm just going to tell you. And for the sake of what I do for the program, I'm going to read a transcript of it, but I'm not watching it live. I'm not doing it. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Hear well, what the Lord is saying to his body through this portion of scripture, because it is vitally applicable to us where we are today. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now remember, he's writing to people who are facing persecution. As a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. Not for filthy lucre or for shameful gain, but eagerly. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Exact same thing the Apostle James said. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble, he goes further. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties or casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. So there are several things I want you to note. One, notice, even though the body of Christ is facing ascendant persecution, right? It's building, it's burgeoning like a crescendo, a musical crescendo. The Lord, by his Spirit, instructs the body of Christ to clothe yourselves with humility. Even in the face of overt hostility and persecution, clothe yourselves in humility. But Lord, what about all of these people? These people are so, clothe yourselves in humility. Notice, God doesn't say that I will clothe you in humility. He's saying, clothe yourselves. This is an aspect that we have the opportunity to agree with God in our sanctification. Peter's epistle is written to believers. The instruction is to believers to clothe ourselves with humility, even in the face of overt hostility and persecution. Clothe yourselves in humility. But notice, not just generalized humility. Of course, that does apply. And not only humility before God, but look at what the scripture says. Clothe yourselves with humility, all of you, with humility toward one another. What? Abe, did you just say that God is saying that the believer has a responsibility to, first of all, clothe ourselves with humility, but that humility clothing must be worn as we interact with fellow members of the body of Christ? Yes. And I want you to note that hostility, persecution, being pushed to the margins of society is not a license for the believer to start acting like unbelievers. Then the Spirit of God gives us through the Apostle Peter the reasoning behind this command. Because God opposes the proud. The same thing James has said previous to Peter's epistle. Peter is now saying, God opposes the proud. We can never, brothers and sisters, allow the context that we've been placed in, the environment around us, to dictate to us how we as believers function. The world is going to world. The world is heartless, cold, lovers of pleasure, lovers of themselves, lovers of money, unappeasable, irreconcilable, malicious gossips. That has no bearing on what we should be. And it has no bearing on what we should be toward the world. Then he goes on, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, because at the proper time, he will exalt you. I want you to notice verse 8. In the midst of hostility, in the midst of ascending persecution, in the midst of all types of difficulty, all manner of difficulty, look at what the Lord says. Be sober-minded. Be sober-minded. The world is worlding and wilding. In the world, feelings have been elevated above thinking, reasoning. That doesn't mean that's how we should be. Sobriety, sober-mindedness, is vitally necessary for the believer, especially in times of hostility, especially when it seems that the spirit of the age is encroaching, especially when it seems wickedness and demonic activity is afoot. Sober-mindedness. I get the picture of a skilled warrior in the midst of warfare, not allowing the bullets flying by, whizzing by, to cause them to be overwhelmed in panic. Not saying that you don't have a healthy fear, healthy respect for what's happening, but there's a sobriety. But okay, the bullets are whizzing. Now, how am I to function? How now are we to respond? How now are we to act? Brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord would have us to be now. Yes, the bullets of wickedness are whizzing. What is God requiring of us? This is not a time to, Lord, I don't know what to do. Be overwhelmed and to be bogged down in fear. This is a time for sober-mindedness. Sober-mindedness, stability. 10 toes down. Flat-footed confidence in the King of Glory. Sober-mindedness is accompanied by what? Being watchful. Being aware of what's happening. Being watchful. And then the Lord tells us why. Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, I want to mention something. When Peter mentions that your adversary, the devil, is prowling around, he is not talking about for the ascending persecution, because that's already happening. What he's talking about is to get the believer to function as an unbeliever because of the environmental circumstances. And look at the command. Resist him. Don't allow the enemy to cause us to begin to function and operate as if we're something that we are not. For we are born again. We've been washed. We've been purchased. The word resist him in the Greek there is antihistamine, where we get our English word antihistamine from. antihistamine the devil, even in the face of overt hostility and persecution. According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is, women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Brothers and sisters, I will continue to encourage you in this way. Sober-minded, watchfulness, and resist him. The context that God has planted us in will not be an occasion nor an excuse or justification for the believer functioning and acting as if we are something other than what we are. The Lord has planted us for such a time as this. Let us be about our Father's business. Thank you so much for tuning into the program this evening. Yeah, I was on one yesterday. But this is the weekend in Plano, Texas, North Dallas Community Bible Fellowship. Their men's breakfast will take place Saturday morning. In order to participate in that, first of all, you have to be a man. Let's make that clear. And no, you cannot be someone who identifies as a man. No, you are a man. Yeah, I'm not going to tiptoe through the tulips with these people who are advocating for demonic ideologies so that they can completely brainwash our children and continue, really, to encourage all of society to live suspended in midair with no foundation. Make no mistake about it. The objective is an all-out assault on reality in a redoubled effort to repeat the talking snake's question. Did God surely say? Not having it. Again, this is not meant to be intolerant or not even intolerant, but insulting or insensitive to somebody who's struggling with dysphoria. But if you are struggling, I'm going to tell you straight up, people around you might not say this to you, but there's no amount of surgery, no amount of pills that you can ingest, no amount of social adorning yourself in attire that is foreign to your biology. There's no amount of it that will cause you to be any different than what God made you to be. Anybody, I don't care if they're MD, PhD, WOD, HA, elemental P, I don't care what they are, if they say otherwise, they are lying to you. Because God has hardwired our identities to us and in us at a cellular DNA level. Every cell in your body cries out that you are what God made you to be. There have been people who have detransitioned, who have come to the hard reality that if you're a man, women don't have to take pills every day to stay women. If you're a woman, men don't have to take pills continually to stay men. I'm just telling you. And if you are listening to me and you're one of the people that may not be struggling in these areas, but you are enabling somebody who is struggling to live a lie, you are complicit in their delusion. And I want you to be clear about something. God will also hold you accountable. Hold you accountable for lying someone into not only delusion, but to imperil their souls. I'm not playing with these people. And when I'm talking about the enablers, and I have great compassion for the people who are struggling in the various areas. Our society is so perverse. We become such a hyper and overly sexualized society where people's innocence is being intruded upon in record numbers. Children are being abused in record numbers. And what's happening in our society? There's abuse. We're trying to actually redefine pedophilia and pederasty as minor attracted persons. J-Mac, I want you to dig through the previous shows because we're going to revisit this. The show I did with Mirjam Hahn playing her TED Talk, to where she is making the case. This is a professor at the University of Germany at Würzburg, where she is making the case that pedophilia is a hateful smear that stigmatizes someone because they have just another sexual orientation. That's evil. That's wicked. For an adult to be physically attracted to a child is not just another orientation. That's wicked. That's evil. But there are efforts afoot to normalize this. Guys, I'm telling you the truth. There are efforts afoot to normalize children having physical interactions, and I'm trying to be careful here, interactions with adults in the make like it's normal. And I'll tell you something that's not so secret. Many of these people are the ones that are drafting and shaping what's called sex ed curriculums that are in the public schools all over our country. Not just the public schools, many of the private schools. Because they're getting the exact same curriculum from the same places. Guys, that is not just, this is a debatable topic. This is evil. This is evil. I can tell you for a fact, in many of the prisons where you have sexual offenders, they're telling these people in prison, that is just the way you're oriented. You just need to learn to suppress your orientation. And this is not new, by the way. This is something that's been argued for quite some time. The efforts to continuously reduce the age of consent for physical activity, this is something Ruth Bader Ginsburg shot up to legal prominence for because she would make legal arguments for it. And it just so happens, I did not have sex with that woman, is the one who nominates her to the Supreme Court. You think that's a coincidence? This man who is an unchaste, sexually immoral man is the one who nominates this woman to the U.S. Supreme Court. Calling it what it is, man. Calling it what it is. It's evil. And the only people who will stand up and say it's evil, it's not just this. You know, there's this penchant, and then I understand, you know, my minor is in psychology. I understand the desire to serve people, and there are people that struggle with mental illness, but I gotta tell you something. Not everything we're talking about is mental illness. Some of the stuff we're dealing with is straight up demonic. Straight up. But because the world don't have categories for it, we want to broaden what we consider mental illness. And then when you actually start dealing with the things, some of the practitioners are like, well, I don't really know how to explain this. Because some of the stuff is straight up demonic. But we're normalizing much of it in our society. Now, I know some of you, the State of the Union address is tonight. You know, they're going to have, it's amazing that when you have kind of the big time moments and the debates and State of the Union, they have Mr. Biden hopped up on all kind of who knows what, you know. But I'm telling you, just like I said yesterday, and I wasn't surprised. I had people asking me after the show, hey, why are you surprised? Why are you surprised? It's not that I'm surprised. It's just, it's one of those things that I spend so much time looking at this stuff. But it just struck me. It just struck me yesterday. So you step back. And I know, you know, Biden is going to get up there talking about, oh, the State of Our Union is strong. Man, that's just a lie. That's just a lie. When you have $34 trillion in debt, not including unfunded liabilities. When you add unfunded liabilities to it, the number skyrockets. I told you earlier this week that we're at the place where we're literally adding every 100 days, every 3 months and 10 days, we are adding another $1 trillion to our debt. That's, you can't survive that way. There are lots of you who are wondering, man, how did Venezuela get to the place, you know, where they have thousands of, you know, of their pesos just in the street because their dollars aren't worth anything? Not a trillion a day, a trillion every 100 days. Every 100 days, it's $1 trillion in debt. Add it to our debt. You wonder how this is how it happens, guys. And earlier this week, we talked about it. Isaiah 59, the anatomy for lawlessness, the product or root of lawlessness is rebellion. This man advocated for and enshrined and even exports the slaughter of innocent human beings, the slaughter of babies, all over the world, blackmails other nations that if you want aid from the USA, you got to kill babies too. And if it's one thing for it to be what's happening in your nation, but why? There was an African nation just last week that voted again to affirm that they've completely outlawed homosexuality. And the U.S. is waxing all, banging the drums and beating on our chests and going around, I can't believe this nation. Why ain't none of your business? Why do you care that an African country has decided we are not going to legalize homosexuality, let alone same-sex marriage? Why do you care? Because the wickedness in our nation, we're not content with have wickedness enshrined in our own nation. We want to export that wickedness. This is the same one who bragged about, yeah, I pushed Barack Obama to light up the White House in rainbow colors. Brags about it. Saturates our Pentagon, saturates our Capitol Hill, saturates our State Department, saturates everything about us, and literally embarrassing our nation on the world stage. Having military leaders dress up in drag and say, this is the new American military of the future. What an embarrassment. And the enemies around the world are laughing at these people. You can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. But I know one thing. Russia annexed Crimea when Obama was in the office of the president. Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine. He didn't do it when Trump was in office. Y'all, they talk all the jazz they want to say. Putin did not attempt to invade Ukraine when Trump was in office. Y'all think that's a coincidence? Things have gone to such a deplorable place in our country to where we are hollowing out our own military, forcing seasoned veterans and skilled military officers into early retirement because they won't go along with the insanity that this administration is propounding. We have an overly pornographized society. A conservative estimate is 7.5 million people invading our country through our southern border. That's the official number, which makes me say, surely it's more than that. I've read estimates just as early as recently as this morning that says the estimates reach as many as 15 million people just in the last 3 years. How do you have a country like that? And because they know, and this is what set me off. One of the things that set me off yesterday. This is what set me off yesterday. They know it's a problem on the southern border, so they realize, hey, we want the people to come, but it's just getting too many on the southern border. So what are we gonna do? We're gonna secretly expand the 1BP app, and we're gonna start booking flights for illegal aliens to fly into our country from foreign nations. And I don't know if I explained this as clearly as I needed to yesterday, but do you know how we found that out? Do you know? The Center for Immigration Studies filed a lawsuit. And because the answers to the interrogatories had to be filed under oath, the Biden administration had to admit under oath in writing, yeah, we've been flying in. And I gave the conservative number, over 320,000 people. And counting. This is still happening, guys. As I am talking to you, this is still happening. Many of you recall when I played for you the video of this in particular Chicago O'Hare Airport, and you had all of these black curtains up in the airport where people normally walk. And it's like, what is going on here? One person, enterprising person, lift up the curtain. Oh, get back from here. Get away. You had illegal aliens sleeping in the airport because they couldn't leave the airport until they got what's called parole to allow them, and it's not parole like criminal parole, but got the parole to allow them to enter our country and work, and then give them a court date, appear back before immigration judges such and such a date. In addition to the questions that the Center for Immigration Studies already asked, I want to ask how many of those people who've been admitted to the country starting dating back to January 2023, flying directly into our country from foreign nations, how many of them actually have appeared before an immigration judge to determine their status? Then, when the Center for Immigration Studies asked, well, which airports did they come from, these jokers had the audacity to say, well, we can't tell you that because we think that could be a risk to our border security. Guys, these folks are actively working against our country. Actively working against our country. And then at the exact same time, you have Hunter Biden finally admit under oath that his daddy was in fact the big guy referred to in his emails on his laptop. And if you don't remember, the big guy was mentioned in a particular scheme with CEFC Energy Company of China paying Hunter Biden, and Hunter is saying, make sure we keep 10% off the top for the big guy, going straight to his dad. And a lot of people have been wondering, we're covering these stories individually, but not looking at them collectively. The spy balloon from China is flying over our nuclear launch sites, like flying over the heart of our country. You know, the Goebbels Inc. people like to call it a flyover country. They ignore the fact that we have actually underground cities with our nuclear arsenal ready to launch at any moment. And that just so happens to be the place where the spy balloon flies over. And you just let it drift from sea to shining sea. At the exact same time, we have reports of the Chinese government intentionally buying land directly next to all of our military bases all around the country. These people are actively functioning and operating as enemies of the nation. So, excuse me if I'm not interested in hearing him regale us on his view of the state of the nation. I didn't even get to, he's going to announce today an additional 40% increase on corporate taxes. So, not only that, it's not enough, but he wants to still confiscate more of your money. Guys functioning actively as an enemy of the country. But then we also have to stop and ask ourselves, do we have precedence for this in scripture? Could God be attempting to get our attention with something? And I am saying, and I've said this before, the most enduring need for America in America is repentance.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. This time is flying by. I am grateful to God because at a time that during the State of the Union address where... it is expected amongst the other lies and appeals to wickedness that are going to transpire that Mr. Robinette Biden is expected to call for a reestablishment of Roe versus Wade. And I believe, we'll see, but I believe he's going to call for that to be established legislatively. But I'm grateful that Virginia Congressman Bob Good has invited my good friend, Orion Bomberger, who many of you may recall, who is co-founder of the Radiance Foundation, that he has a powerful testimony that his mother, unfortunately, was raped. And he was conceived as a result of that rape. And by God's grace, his mother did not abort him. His birth mom did not abort him, but did place him with a godly, loving family. And Ryan will be there. Because his circumstance that he was conceived in and ultimately born in is the one that's often used to advocate for the unimpeded slaughter of children in the womb. And it's just not surprising to me that the same party that argued that people who look like me, who had more melanin African slaves and their descendants were subhuman and therefore worthy of being treated as chattel and murdered, abused, raped are the same ones that are saying the unborn should be murdered and abused. It's not surprising to me. So I'm grateful that Ryan will be there during the State of the Union address. I pray that God gives him the grace to survive this hooey that will be shared this evening. Today, the House of Representatives passed what is being described as the Laken Riley Act. This is a piece of legislation, and this is one of the times where I just get so frustrated because we really don't need more laws. We simply need to enforce the laws that exist. But I am grateful for the heart behind this, to where the House of Representatives passed by a vote of 251 to 170 the Laken Riley Act, a simple measure that says if an illegal alien is arrested, that federal authorities have the prerogative, the power to deport them. Some of you may recall that the illegal alien who murdered Laken Riley, allegedly, had been arrested several times, released from New York under their no carceral sentence, Alvin Bragg policies, and then in Athens, Georgia, had been arrested for shoplifting. Upon being released from custody, because Athens, Georgia is also a sanctuary city, so Immigration and Customs Enforcement was not notified expressly because the city of Athens refuses to allow that to occur. After being released from his arrest for theft, he subsequently murders Laken Riley, allegedly. I have to say allegedly, because the case hasn't finally been adjudicated, but interestingly, the bill was passed. All Republicans voted for it and 37 Democrats. I'm grateful for the 37 Democrats that voted to pass the bill. But 170 Democrats refused to pass the bill. And so I wanted to understand the mindset behind the Democrats who would not pass the bill. And I was able to find Congressman Ro Khanna. Oh, Ro, the gift that keeps on giving. Ro don't know. You remember those commercials? Bo knows sports. Bo knows this. Bo knows. Ro is the opposite of Bo. No, Bo knows. Ro don't know. This is listening to him, and this is something I try to do, and sometimes I'm better at this than other times. But I always want to give the people with whom I disagree, I want to give them a fair hearing. I don't want to misrepresent their positions. I don't want to argue against something that is not their position. But listening to Ro Khanna, I remain unpersuaded in his position, and he said every other Democrat who opposes this bill. So I have to take, based on Ro's representation, Congressman Ro Khanna's representation, all 170 Democrats who refused to vote for this bill opposed it for this similar reasoning. And I'm going to let you hear Ro Khanna's explanation for this, and you tell me if you smell something that's off. It's clip number two. Go.
We seem to hear about this almost all the time. The crimes that are perpetrated at the hands, allegedly, of illegal migrants are done by people who had committed other crimes and were let back out in the streets. Jose Ybarra is one of those people. The Laken Riley Act, expected to be voted on in the House today, it would detain illegal immigrants who are charged with theft. That's what Jose Ybarra had been charged with. He was let out. He went to Georgia and allegedly killed Laken Riley. Where do you come down on that bill? Where will your vote fall?
I'll tell you why I and most Democrats are a no on that bill. Because the bill says that if you are arrested, that you could be detained indefinitely. I used to think, John, that in this country we used to have a jury process. You have to go through a process. You have your rights, and you decide whether you're convicted or not. And to have someone detained without that due process, I think, is un-American.
Wait, did I hear Ro Khanna say that is un-American for the people who were detained following January 6th to be detained indefinitely before they were? Maybe I misunderstood. So he wants to afford due process rights to non-citizens. But he's cool with American citizens sitting in the D.C. jail, rotten. Did I hear that right? Okay. This is why. That's right, Kerry. This is why I am greatly concerned when people say these things like, there are more things that unify us than divide us. And I'm saying that may be true if you put, you kind of have a pro and con scale, how many things that we agree on, how many things we disagree on. But here's the problem. The things that we disagree vehemently on and their significance. For example, if you think a stage one human being, this is what I call a child at conception, by the way, a stage one human being, if you refuse to interrupt the developmental process of that stage one human being, that stage one human being will ultimately become a 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, should the Lord grace them to live that long. If you think a stage one human being can be killed for convenience, you and I have a fundamental disagreement about something that I believe is very important. That is foundational. The desire to pursue the inalienable right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. Let me say it better. The inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You don't get to liberty or the pursuit of happiness if you don't have life. We have people among us that say, well, some should have life depending on the circumstances of their conception. If they're conceived in an environment where their parents are wealthy enough, if they're conceived in an environment where they're wanted, if they're conceived in an environment, see, the circumstances of their conception determine whether or not they should live. That is a fundamental disagreement about something that's very important. So even if we quantitatively have more that we would agree on, this fundamental disagreement of this foundational issue is a big deal. That's what I'm saying. Back to Ro Khanna. Ro Khanna is literally arguing that people who have broken our laws to get into our country in the first place should have the benefit of the due process rights that are afforded to citizens just as citizens should have. I got a problem with that. With the bill that was passed, the Laken Riley Act that was passed in Congress, it simply reaffirms the immigration standards for ICE agents, that when there is an illegal alien that commits a crime. The purpose of the Laken Riley Act is to say that states and cities cannot identify themselves as a policy or make a policy for themselves as a sanctuary state or city that thwarts the ability of federal immigration agents from apprehending illegal aliens once they've committed a crime. Even at the allegation level, as I've explained before, having prosecuted major felonies for a decade, the normal process, back when people didn't have sanctuary cities and sanctuary states, is that when you have an illegal alien and they are arrested and placed in the local jail is not prison. Prison is where you serve sentences that are longer than a year, all right? The jail is the local jail where a person charged with the crime, if they're unable to make bond, where they are held until they actually have their case resolved. Or they're bonded out until the case is resolved. When the illegal alien commits the crime, they are processed at the local facility. Every state in the country has the wherewithal to participate in what's called JIMS, the Judicial Information Management System. That's nationwide. And you also have NCIC, the National Criminal Information Center database. All jurisdictions have access to it all over the country. And when you process these illegal aliens, they're also processed to determine whether or not they have citizenship anywhere. What happens at that point is what's called an ICE detainer is placed on the defendant, which says before this defendant can be released from this local jail, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency has to have access to them to process them through the federal systems. The detention in the federal systems, Ro Khanna's thinking he's slick. He said they can be held indefinitely in the federal system. No, Ro Khanna. They're using the term indefinitely as if it's representative of they could be held forever. That's just a lie. But you see, Ro Khanna knows that most American citizens don't know the ins and outs of ICE rules because the detention in the ICE system simply does not comport with the state and local rules that are normally afforded to American citizens. And this is what makes me so mad. These regressives will get on national TV and deceive the American people as if the congressman, because note, it is all of the Republicans and 37 Democrats who voted for the bill. It's because they know that given federal immigration authorities the right to detain these illegal aliens is not saying that you can detain them eternally without due process of laws. The detention is only as long as necessary to determine their immigration status and to determine their priorities in time in terms of deportation. Ro Khanna knows that. Every Democrat in Congress knows that, but they don't want you, the American people, to know they know that. So they'll hide behind, whoa, what do you think? This bill is bad because it doesn't afford due process of law. Basically, what the House of Representatives just said is that when it comes to theft, there's no such thing as a sanctuary state or city in the country. That's what it says. I don't think the bill went far enough. But the effort to try to say these people should have all of the rights that American citizens should have when their introduction to our nation is by violating our laws. That should automatically put you in a separate category. We have processes for asylum. But most of the migration to our country that is illegal is economic migration. It's because regardless of how bad, good or bad it may be in their home countries, they think it's better here. And Congress has a wherewithal to require ICE, and what normally happens when there's an ICE hold on the defendant, it is the federal authorities who make the initiative to apprehend them for detention. So it's just the lies, man. They just continue to flow. They just continue to flow. And again, this is a fundamental distinction. I don't think that illegal aliens, and let me be clear about something. Illegal aliens are fellow bearers of God's image, just like American citizen image bearers. I don't think anybody should be intentionally mistreated. Not at all. But if your initial foray into our country is breaking our laws, you have placed yourself in a category to where you will be treated differently from American citizens. You will place yourself in that category. But I understand it. Because what do? When you have, well, the president of your own country is helping me to set up a flight from Venezuela, El Salvador, wherever, to come into the country. And if they're setting up the flight, well, shouldn't I take the flight? And this is where the tension sets in. The notion that there are more things we agree about than things we disagree about, it very well may be true quantitatively. But is it true qualitatively? And is it not the qualitative distinctions that is causing all of the strife in our country? That is something to think about. Again, as I've ended the show yesterday, I'll say it again today. With all that is transpiring, refuse to assess it and analyze it naturally, exclusively. What is God attempting to show us? And what response is he requiring from us? And in the midst of all of this, remain sober-minded and vigilant.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.